Namaste. Thank you for being here. Welcome to Create a Business That Never Burns You Out by Using Your Innate Constitution. This is the last of this three-call series to help you fearlessly call forth your work of unmistakable vision, maturity, and depth. I'm Rebecca Ramadevi-Preen, founder of Ompreneur. Now, Namaste is a Sanskrit address that means the sacred in me honors the sacred in you. And it's from this space of sacredness that I honor you today and your work, and sincerely thank you for joining me in this. So to set the space and clear away anything that's keeping you from having new insight or new wisdom or coming into an understanding of what's next for you, let's begin together with a breath practice to clear out anything that's stagnant or stale. This is a breath practice taught to me by my guru. If you don't know me or you haven't been on a call in this series yet, the yoga I teach is Tantra, which is a set of powerful spiritual practices that deliberately use and transform energy to directly experience the divine. And I teach in a lineage, which might be a little bit different from what you've experienced before. So you'll hear me refer to my guru, Madhyaya Sati Bhagavati, who was the living head of this lineage of yoga until 3 years ago, and my teacher, Swami Jayadevi. And this is because yoga is an oral tradition, passed down from teacher to student, and that creates a transmission of an unbroken string of energy. This is powerful. You can think of it as generations of yogis who have achieved a level of mastery energetically supporting you. So energy gets stagnant, okay, in your low belly, and it gets stuck there. Fear, attachment, jealousy, they reside here below your navel. It's why we say we can feel it in our gut. And this breath clears out the energy of the lower chakras below the navel so that it clears the way for newness and for clarity. So I invite you to join me in this. We will be holding the breath and then leaning forward for a count of seven between the inhale and the exhale. I wanted to give you warning of that because if you can only hold for a count of three or five, that's totally fine. Don't force yourself to hold the breath. Instead, it's when you need to release the breath, rise up so that you're sitting straight up again, and imagine drawing the breath up and down your spine until you join us to lean forward again. Okay, so I'll invite you to find a comfortable seat now. I recommend on a cushion or on the couch, or even on your bed, somewhere you can sit cross-legged comfortably. Sit up against a wall if you'd like support. Just get away from your desk and give yourself this undivided time. And then when you're seated comfortably, place your hands on your knees or thighs, wherever they fall naturally, and close your eyes. Now take a full breath in, gathering all of your attention in on the breath. And then exhale, letting anything you're holding on to roll out on the breath. Breathe in again, gathering your focus and attention. And this time, hold the breath gently and fold forward. Your forehead comes to hovering but not touching the ground. Om one, om two, Om 3, Om 4, Om 5, Om 6, Om 7. Rising back up to a straight spine and gently, without force, release the breath up the spine and out the top of the head. Now breathe in from the crown of the head, filling up the body again. And hold the breath gently and we'll fold forward. Om 1, Om 2, Om 3, Om 4, Om 5, Om 6, Om 7. Rise back up to a straight spine and release the breath up and out the top of the head. One last breath. Breathe in from the crown of the head. Hold the breath gently and fold forward. Om 1, Om 2, Om 3, Om 4, Om 5, Om 6, Om 7. Rise back up to a straight spine and release the breath up and out the top of the head. Now breathe in again from the crown of your head, imagining that you could draw a strand of light down along your spine with the breath all the way to your tailbone. Then exhale, allowing the light to travel with the out-breath back up the spine and out the crown. And repeating this breath two more times, breathing in light from the crown of your head and drawing it along the spine to the tailbone, and breathing it out light on the exhale, letting it rise to the crown of your head. One last breath, washing the central energy channel of your body with light. And exhaling fully if you have not already. And now take a moment to bring your attention to your body. And just witness your energy. Witness the quality of your mind. And then you can gently open your eyes. So this is Tantra, and yoga is more than a set of poses for physical exercise. It's a spiritual path and an approach to life, which is entirely focused on how to live fully awake, okay, fully awake to your own divine wholeness. And today, I've promised to share with you how to create energy-attuned earning so that you never burn out in your business. What I'll share with you comes from yoga's sister science, Ayurveda, which is a holistic system of health like Chinese medicine, and it is the oldest health system in the world. We'll talk a bit about what Ayurveda teaches about your innate constitution and how, if your business leaves you depleted or burnt out, or if it just feels way too hard, honoring your innate constitution can really change everything. It certainly did for me. If you don't know me yet, I am a yoga teacher, I'm a business strategist, and I'm a business attorney. I mentor solo business owners in the yoga of entrepreneurship, a deep integration of yoga and business practices that creates a radical path of making your business a spiritual practice. I understand business as yoga for many reasons, but most fundamentally because your business is part of your spiritual path. There is no separation there. It is tremendously fertile ground for growth and for actualizing your own freedom and fulfillment. I've been practicing and studying yoga for 14 years, and it has been intricately intertwined in my path as first a big firm and then a government attorney turned entrepreneur. I shared with you on last week's call how I had been living the life of a Dharma archetype that was not my own, and it was destroying me. I'll share more with you about that experience and how that progressed as we go along today. You'll see how my Dharma archetype and my innate constitution are related and how they've played out together. The practices of yoga have shown me how to know exactly who I am without waiver and how to get out of the way so that my work can come through me and I can offer that work in a way that's deeply attuned to my very nature. So when this happens, when you can get out of the way and you can attune to your own nature, just who you are at the deepest level, when you live your Dharma in harmony with your innate constitution, the struggle drops away. You experience flow. You experience fulfillment. You actually expand your capacity and you consume anything that comes your way. I want that. I want that for you. I want that for all of you. I want you to know exactly who you are, beyond ego and without waiver. I want you to know your own infinite wholeness and the import of the work that comes through you from there. I don't want you struggling and depleted, and I certainly don't want your work never seeing the light of day. Instead, I want you to experience freedom and fulfillment. I want you to live fully and feel like all of you have been expended in living this life. I know that you want that for yourself, or you wouldn't be here. And, of course, if you'd like to do some more work with me to do that, I can share with you how that can happen later. I shared with you last week, and I'm going to get into my story in a bit more detail. I'm probably going to tell you a longer story than I ever have before because it really illustrates this idea about this truth around how your path, your Dharma archetype, and your innate constitution, how they intersect, and they are made of the same stuff, and I'll get into that. So I shared with you last week that as a big firm security fraud litigator, I had been living the life of a Dharma archetype that was not my own, and it had been destroying me. I'd had a problem of what I termed Dharma aim. I didn't know how and where to aim, so I let my aim be directed. It was directed by my family. It was directed by my education. It was directed by our culture. And I actually think it's a rare person who doesn't allow this, who doesn't allow their own Dharma and their own path to be directed or influenced by family, by education, and by culture. How could we not? We're planted in it. The thing was, it wasn't just work for the life of another Dharma archetype. It actually, this work as an attorney was also the work for someone of a different innate constitution than me, with longer endurance and a different relationship to stress and to competition. But I thought it was my constitution, or I thought it was supposed to be. I spoke sharply. I spoke clearly and precisely. I was intense at times. I wanted to achieve. I was told, it was reflected back to me, that I was competitive. But the truth was, I was taxed. I was taxed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And let me tell you, my problem with aim on both these fronts, both the Dharma archetypical front and like my own constitution, my problem with aim didn't end with starting my own business. I brought the same challenges, the same assumptions, and the same expectations with me into building my own practice. And I built the wrong business on someone else's model, who is a different Dharma archetype and a different innate constitution than me. So here's what happened. I had gone from making nothing, $0 in my business in May of 2010 to making five figures a month in my practice by January of 2011. Okay, so the first quarter in January, I was making five figures a month, 6 to 8 months later. The model I'd implemented had, admittedly, engaged clients like gangbusters. And by February, I was straight out on my back in pain. I had been experiencing increasingly chronic pain since about 2004, but in early 2011, I was having acute episodes and episodes of immobility. So I find myself having brought in all of this work and then be flat on my back. And then I would run around. I put that in quotes because how much can I run around flat on my back? The big guy set to solving this problem. I invest a huge amount of time and a huge amount of money healing myself, okay? And then I kind of start all over again. So my model self-imploded, and I wound up dismantling my team. I had a virtual team of three, not including myself at that point in time where I was having these episodes of pain that would leave me flat in bed on my back. So the extremity in this ended, but the pattern did not for a little while. I would still, now a team of one, completely wear myself out marketing, then engaging, and then serving clients. Okay, and this was all in my law practice at the time. That was the only business I had. And I do all of that thinking it would earn me the ease and the freedom that I crave, you know, when I was finished, like doing all of this hard work, kind of like putting off my own happiness or my own health. But here's what really happened. I didn't have any energy. And somehow I didn't have any more money that I had before, and I certainly didn't feel any freedom in any of it. And I would go through this pattern again and again. I would, when my burst of production ended, I no longer had any money. So I was like, wait a minute. I just brought in all of this money. I just did all of this work. Why isn't the money lasting past the production period? Am I not charging enough? What is going on? You know, I was so perplexed. I thought I had done what I had been told or advised that I was supposed to be doing. And I had earned the money. So where was it? Like, where was it now that I was too depleted to make it happen any longer? I'm like, where is it to invest in my team again? Where is it to invest in my own rest? So I started asking this question, and the solutions and the approaches that are kind of prevalent out there now, and they're really, I'll put them in two camps. I know that there's more of a spectrum than that, but for the sake of understanding them simply, you're kind of on either end of current online business thought, and that is, you know, market more, put in more systems, invest more money in your business, or manifest. Take your foot off the gas, you know, engage in your spiritual practices, be very direct about, you know, asking for the amount of money you want, and feel into, you know, how it's going to come to you. Okay, market more or manifest. And I was like, yeah. Okay. Neither one of these are really working for me. So what's wrong with me? I've always been very smart, always been very capable, always seem to have been able to do things, you know, I mean, all the way up to kind of, I felt like, okay, I can create, I can achieve, like, what I want to achieve. So what's going on here? I really didn't want to go the market more route. I didn't have the bandwidth, like emotionally or energetically or financially at that point, to like market more or to expand my production team again. And, you know, the manifesting solution was a little bit more perplexing, honestly, because as I just told you, I'm a yogi. I've been doing this as my spiritual practice for 14 years. I deliberately work with spiritual energy every single day of my life. And I just didn't get this. I mean, how are people calling money energy? I really thought it was total New Age bullshit. Like, excuse my phrase. But because, you know what, Mom, my guru, if money were just energy, right, and it was like spiritual energy that you could attune to, I swear to God, my guru would have been the richest woman on earth, right? I mean, she has so much Shakti, but money wasn't flocking toward her Shakti. So I couldn't reconcile, that's the word I'm looking for. I couldn't reconcile this. And then fairly recently, you know, in the scope of this entire journey, Nona Jordan, who works with people around money, and whom I deeply respect as a person, and but also in her approach, said to me, money is energy. And I thought, there it is again. And now from Nona. Like, I have to believe Nona. And I thought, I got to figure this money energy thing out. What was wrong with me? Like, what was I missing? Here's what it was missing, okay, for me. I have the same relationship with my money that I have with my physical energy. The key for me has been understanding the relationship, okay? I have the same relationship with my money that I have with my physical energy. So simple, okay? So obvious. That's why I had no money and no energy at the same time, right? Because my relationship to it is the same. so simple, so obvious, and I ignored it. I mean, big time, ignored it for years, years and years, like decades. I mean, this pattern didn't just start in my own business. It's a pattern that showed up really acutely in my own business, but it was there, you know, ever since I had been a working adult, had a full-time job. You know, it's the reason that I could work at a big law firm and not have any money at the end of the month. It's why I could make five figures, you know, in my own law practice a month and not have any money at the end of the month. And seeing that I was, and be flat out on my back and thinking that I was, you know, supposedly still, you know, looking at how I spend it and go, okay, I haven't really done anything that's, quote, irresponsible here. So I ignored this for years. But here's, when it did dawn on me, here's what I learned. I had not designed my business to earn according to my innate energy and endurance cycle. Okay, nor had I designed it to use the best of my innate style of focus. So I was wearing myself out, and I wasn't even happy with what I was doing when I was doing it. So I was sabotaging myself all the way around because I was working completely out of harmony with myself. So all of the marketing, all of the attuning to the vibration of abundance in the world wasn't going to help me, because when it came, and it could come, you know, in torrents, it would run me over. So yoga, finally, being a yogi, having done this for 14 years, having made the sense of, okay, wait a minute, I'm doing the same thing with my money that I'm doing with my own energy. I look to Ayurveda, which is yoga's sister science, okay, and the oldest system of health in the world. And I had been exposed to Ayurveda since about 2006, 2007. And it took being immersed in it for a bunch of years to even make this connection. But Ayurveda has a reason for this. It has a reason that our relationship with money and our relationship with our own energy is analogous, that we have the same really type of relationship with it. And this reason is a law of nature. It is your innate constitution, okay, what Ayurveda calls your dosha. Your dosha is your sacred biology and chemistry, okay? You harmonize with it, and you harmonize with the entire universe. You're out of harmony with it. You're out of harmony with the entire universe. Things are going to be hard, okay? You're going to be fighting against yourself. So the divine, let's dig into this a little bit. Why is this? The divine, by which I mean infinite wholeness in its infinite wisdom. You may call it spirit or source. You may call it God or pure consciousness. It manifests and acts in the world through you. So everything I've shared with you in this call series, okay, from call one through now, arises from here. It arises out of this undulating vibration of the universe as a whole. Okay? In Sanskrit, that vibration is Om. I shared in the first call in the series on consciously mastering your five intelligences that this undulating vibration of the universe as a whole expresses as us individually in five energy fields. These energy fields are how you experience your individuated soul. The energy fields, okay, so the physical body and the mind are two of these five energy fields. Okay? So the energy fields of the physical body and the mind express in patterns constellations of physical, emotional, and mental traits called doshas. This is the doshas. Your dosha is your innate constitution, okay, a biological energy force that possesses certain inextricable qualities. And in Ayurveda, there are three of them, three biological energy forces, Their names are Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Everything that is manifest, that is in form, okay, even as a subtle as form as thought, expresses as one of these three biological forces. Everything, in other words, characteristically has one of these three types of patterns. And so, like the Dharma archetypes each carry out one of the aims of life, each of the doshas has a function. Okay? Vata is the innate constitution with the qualities of air. Okay? It is light and mobile. Its function is to move things. Its role is creativity. Now, I sent you out a Vata quiz. So if you took that quiz, you will know which constitution you are predominantly. Now, if you got two, it is not that unusual. In fact, it's probably highly common to have a dual dosha. Okay, so you might say, oh, I'm a Vata Pitta, or I'm a Pitta Kapha, or I'm a Kapha Vata. That is okay. You're going to express equally, or you may express physically as one dosha and mentally as another dosha. So that presents a type of dilemma or a particular set of ways of balancing yourself, but it's not uncommon, and don't worry about it. All of us are combinations of all three. Remember, everything that's manifest, everything that has a form, is a combination of these three biological energy forces, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Okay, and they express in our body, physical body sheath, they express in our mind, energetic sheath, and the prana sheath, which is between the mind and the physical body. That's how we connect them. Okay, that's how we create change or adjustment, is through the prana body, the energetic body. If you are a Vata dosha, your motto is change, change, change. I, just so you know who you're dealing with, am a Vata dosha, okay? Arguably Vata Pitta, but primarily Vata gets expressed and gets out of balance more frequently. Pitta is the innate constitution with predominantly the qualities of fire, okay? It is hot and vibrant. Its function is to transform. And relatedly, of course, its role is transformation. So if you're a Pitta dosha, your motto is burn, burn, burn. In my experience, most of the common business models are designed for a Pitta dosha. And I will explain why in a moment. The last of the three doshas is Kapha. Kapha is the innate constitution with predominantly the qualities of earth. It is heavy, and it is stable. Its function is stability. Its role is structure. If you're a Kapha dosha, your motto is steady now. Okay, so in the Energy Attuned Earning PDF guide, you'll see mandalas, okay, that evoke a sense of each dosha in harmony. So let's give you kind of a visual sense that each is beautiful and has different qualities, but also has a harmonic state, okay, in which there is ease, flow, grace. You want to be in this harmonic state with your innate constitution. In other words, you want the rhythm and the qualities of your life and your business to match the qualities of your dosha in there and encourage the qualities of your dosha in their positive, productive expression. Vata, for example, requires sufficient movement. Pitta requires sufficient intensity. And Kapha requires sufficient stability. But you do not want these qualities in a destabilizing amount, or you'll begin to experience the negative qualities of your constitution. you'll notice that in the PDF guide, I've given you a very short outline of the positive expression of each innate constitution and how the negative expression of each innate constitution. The positive expression happens when your dosha is in harmony, or when you are in harmony with your dosha's qualities, and the negative expression happens when you're out of harmony with the dosha qualities or characteristics. So you want to encourage your ability to match the qualities of your dosha so that you can take advantage of your innate positive aspects, your innate ability to be productive in the way that you're designed to be productive and to function in the way that you're designed to function. So, and you don't want them in so much that they destabilize you. So here's the tricky thing, though. The qualities of one of the doshas can imbalance the other. Okay, this is what happens when you design a business that is for a constitution other than yours. Those aspects get augmented, which then throws your innate constitution aspects out of whack with you, who you are by nature. So again, we're coming into harmony with how we are constituted. Okay, we're not bringing things into a balance overall. We're bringing ourselves into harmony with how we're actually constituted. What is our makeup of, in percentage even, of these types of qualities? So this is what happens when you design a business that's for a constitution other than yours. What would have a positive impact and does have a positive impact of someone with that constitution winds up having a negative impact on you by pushing you out of harmony with your innate constitution. It's asking you to be too much of this other set of qualities, okay? So at this point, let's take a look at the Pitta dosha. Because as I said, most of the common business models are designed for a Pitta dosha. And this is why. Those that I'm referencing include periodic launches, a pyramid or funnel of income streams, and or packages of services bundled together for a period of 3 months or less. They are results-oriented. And the work in them can be intense, can certainly be linear, and again, it's results-oriented. So if we take a look at the Pitta dosha, why would that be a good model for people of a Pitta dosha? Well, it matches Pitta dosha's style of focus, which is intense and periodic. A client of mine told me that her husband had characterized her as a mid-distancer. That's the way a Pitta is, okay? A mid-distancer. They're intense and they can hold it for a period of time. But here's the trap. The period of time that you think you can extend this level of intensity, you think it's longer than it actually is, which is where the mid-distance reference come in. Okay, your energy and endurance cycle is medium, it's mid-range, it's not long-term. But your tendency, a Pitta tendency, is to burn, burn, burn. You're going to keep going. You're going to hit that goal. So there needs to be built in some periodicity. Now, the models that are common, they have periodicity built in if you can be aware for creating that gap. Okay, so you want enough stimulation to keep that fire burning, to keep your interest up, to keep that competitive spirit going, to keep your vitality. Okay, there's a lot of energy, a lot of vitality in Pitta aspects, in Pitta constitution. You want to keep that. You want to take advantage of the best of that. Okay, so periodic launches, pyramids, because it moves people along. It's results-oriented. It appeals to a sense of achievement. right, a medium term, okay, so that it doesn't burn too hotly for too long, but keep the intensity up, that and the results-oriented approach. The key to balancing this, though, is balance itself, okay? It is pulling back, pulling back slightly from 110% or even 100%, right? I would challenge my pitta people to go at 90, okay? Really allow things to be periodic as opposed to constant. But I hope that that shows you how the models that we often see and that are so commonly, many of them that are commonly taught, are built for this type of constitution and orientation, okay? The periodic launches, the excitement of that, the adrenaline, the building up, and then the drop-off, okay? That is the way that a pitta dosha, pitta person's constitution is designed. It's intense for a period of time, and then it's not anymore, okay? If you also take a look at the quiz, you'll see that I put in there an indicator also of money. Now, Ayurveda will characterize patterns of relationships with money as possessing the qualities of one of the three doshas, okay? So a Vata dosha spends quickly and doesn't think about saving. They're like, hey, let's move on. Let's get something else. We're going to change this up. Pitta is a big spender, and it might save some, right? Able to allocate some resources. Good for growing a business if they can allocate some resources. Needs the big influx of a launch in order to facilitate the big spending. Tends to be a large brand, right? A pairing that works pretty well for lots of the models you see, or what I witness, observe, is the pleasure archetype with a pitta dosha. Okay, that's who you're watching kill it. That's who's killing it. And they are authentically, and they're figuring out how to get it done, but it's not something that everyone else can replicate or can keep up. And what I'm here to tell you is that you don't have to. There's something that fits for you. Okay, continuing on with the money analogy, the kapha dosha saves regularly and accumulates wealth, but there's not a lot of change there. They're going to, kapha people will be hesitant to invest in building or to spend for something that gives them pleasure because they're creating stability, they're creating wealth. So a lot of the models are good for pitta, and they will throw Vata or Kapha people off balance. So there are other models that are more harmonic if you are a Vata or a Kapha innate constitution. So let me, and I've outlined those in short in your PDF. But let me tell you how this ended up playing out, because I think an example might be better and clearer than just going through the characterization or the qualities of the models. Let me tell you how this played out for me. So I had a pretty pitta-based model. It did have a recurring income stream. So one of the things that I would recommend for if you're a Vata constitution is that your harmonic business model is going to have a recurring income stream, okay, because you need to even out the fact that your endurance cycle is short, okay, and when you expend your energy and your money, characteristically, you spend your energy and your money very, very quickly, and then you turn around and wonder what happened. Why can't I do the 15 things at a time that I usually do? That's another quality of Vata, is that the flexible multitask, varied, varied interests. So a recurring revenue model is a way to build structure into managing your energy and managing your money. So what happened in my model? Because truth is I did build a recurring income model. Okay, that was different. I had been taught or advised to make to do that model. That's the part that worked for me. I built that. There was recurring income. I was building recurring income. A couple of things happened. There was not management of my own energy to coincide with the management of the recurring income model. So in other words, my expansion of energy didn't match when the money was coming in. There was too much energy being expended for too many different variations for the set of offerings that I offered. So I pulled back from that. And I tried a few different other models first. People were trying to unbundle it, I guess, was also part of the problem. They were paying up front, and they were unbundling it. Because I should explain to you that my law practice is a business law practice. I serve small business owners, solo people like yourself and like myself. Some of my business owners are partnerships. But primarily, it's single owner businesses that I serve. And I was offering them a set of services. So the thing is, people were coming to me when their businesses were at different stages and their businesses needed different things. And even people who were at the, quote, same stage, if you looked at it from a business cycle or business growth point of view, were totally different stages for the getting their legal needs met. I mean, they had one thing but didn't have another, and then another person would come and they had the thing that the first person had but they didn't have the other thing in place. And when you go to set your business up legally, it is fully dependent upon the model you have for your business model and what your intentions are for growing that business, okay? It's individualized in that sense. So how the recurring income model was structured was not right for serving my clients the way that they really needed to be served. And it was coming in too, the work was coming in too quickly for me to get it done, but without kind of the relevant cash flow to get the work done upfront before the clients had paid for everything. So I changed that around. And in doing so, I migrated through a kind of pay per service flat fee, which created huge discrepancies in income, huge roller coaster in income. So in the end, after coming to this realization about my archetype and about my dosha, I rebuilt the recurring income model. I stripped it down to its most basic design, okay, in a way that could be implemented the most simply for me and for my clients. Explained, because there are a lot of confusion from my clients about what was included, what wasn't included, you know, could they call me for this, could they call me for that, you know, what if they change their mind in the middle of it. There was a lot of detail that didn't need to be in there for them to choose to work with me. So I stripped all of that down. I recreated a recurring income model. I then plotted it, okay, against my calendar based on my dosha. So based on my energy level and my commitment and how I wanted to live my life, I decided how often I was going to work in my law practice and how many clients that just meant I could serve. And I actually pace out bringing in each of my clients that way. I do not market in the normal way that you see. Primarily, all of my business is word of mouth and through speaking engagements. So I cut out all of the content marketing that I was doing that was consuming a lot of my energy. I do have a written body of work that I would like to still keep rolling out. So basically, bottom line is this. I created a recurring income model. Okay. I extended that over a long period of time so people work with me for a year. Again, those were the very basic premises of the first model I implemented, but the details of it were stripped down to their essentials. And then the last thing I did, which was huge for me, is I interjected variety and flexibility into the way that I work and the way that I earn. Okay? So I don't just have a law practice anymore. I also have Ownpreneur, which is near and dear to my heart and capitalizes on, one, my own experience as a business owner, which I love. I love working with entrepreneurs. I love seeing people and helping people realize their dreams and their full expression of themselves. And I love yoga, and I've gained such wisdom. I shared in some of the earlier calls, how much the practices of yoga have impacted and transformed my experience in my life, not only in my business, but otherwise. So I interjected flexibility. And the reason I did that is it actually took two years ago now. My business coach, my in-person business coach here in Atlanta, who's pretty old school, actually, she looked at me and she said, you are never going to be happy doing one thing. Why are you trying to change from doing one thing to doing one other thing? What if that's not what your model looked like at all? And again, I hadn't associated it with my innate constitution. I just knew that when she said that, she saw exactly who I was, and she was the only person, okay, the only coach that I've worked with. Now, admittedly, I have worked with her over an extended period of time, so our relationship is also the most intimate, who proposed that, right, who saw me and proposed that as a possibility, that maybe you could have a viable set of income streams that were unrelated. This suits me perfectly. It suits Avata constitution perfectly. Your attributes are flexibility. Your style of focus is flexible and various. And your endurance circle is short, so you want to move on to the next task after a short period of focus. So that's how I have created it in my business. I have created recurring income streams over a year in two different businesses that have pretty much unrelated offerings. And then to add a third, I also have my own artwork. But this has opened up the time and the space for me to pursue that and to pursue my work as a body of work, as opposed to one business that I have to build in a competitive or achievement-oriented straight line, which is much more aligned with what a Pitta constitution would find fulfilling and with which a Pitta constitution would have success. So that is the way that this can play out. And my clients have seen themselves reflected in this. They have seen where they need to adjust. There has been relief on the part of those who are not Pitta doshas, that they are like given permission and a reason to do it differently. So there it is. There's another set. There's also a set of recommendations that I give you if you are a Kapha or an Earth constitution. That, again, takes into account the positive aspects of your nature, of your structural nature, and minimizes their negative aspects by interjecting some stimulation into it. And the last thing I will say, I will open it up for questions. I realize that on last week's call, the question functioning didn't work very well. But I will open it up, so hopefully it will work all right this time. The last part that I will add is that the doshas are helpful. Having an understanding of them is helpful in a couple other ways. One is, not only is it a description of who you are, right, how you're made up, but it's a way that your mind can understand it. Okay, so much in yoga, and I talked a lot about this in the first call in this series, like, so the miracle of yoga is that it works for us without the mind. We don't have to believe it. It's actually a way to transform the mind through the breath, okay? But it also has these frameworks that have been developed over thousands and thousands of years through experience that give our mind something to understand, to alleviate its anxiety, okay? Because if you implement this, the moment you begin to shift from a model that is taught, that is common, or that is taught, or is even just the way you thought you were supposed to do it, or who you thought you were, into alignment with your innate constitution, your mind is going to go nuts. Is going to have every single reason in the book that you cannot do it, that it is not possible, that you will fail and be destitute, okay, that you will not be happy, that you will lose a level of professional achievement, that you will not be respected anymore. Any kind of excuse for not changing will come up. So it's an additional layer of giving the mind something that the mind can understand. Oh, yeah, wait. This is me. This is the way I am. And it's okay. There's a legitimate reason for this. And the reason exists in nature, right? I am no different than the trees or the air. I have certain characteristics, and I'm designed to live according to them. So with that, I will open it up to questions. If you would like to change your model, shift your model, understand much, much more deeply how to actually implement all of this, please, I do invite you to work with me. I am opening up my year-long program. It's really an immersion, combination of an immersion, a mastermind, and a mentorship small group. There will be no more than 6 people with you at one time. Together, it is built around 2 things. One is the practices and frameworks of yoga as a way to tap into your infinite wholeness and your innate nature. And the second is a 90-minute peer facilitated group with me that's live so that you can yoke those practices and your understanding and philosophy with the practicalities of your business. There's also always an option to additionally work with me personally. I'm only working one-on-one with people who have gone through this program because it's such an important and deep framework to get immersed in first. When I haven't asked that of people, there's a richness that is lost. So I invite you to that. There are more details at ompreneur.com/satsang, S-A-T-S-A-N-G. Satsang is another Sanskrit word that means coming together in truth or for truth, and it's really a gathering of spiritual community. So it's a great apropos word for the work that we're doing here as business owners, that will explain to you month by month. There's a button to schedule a time with me to chat about whether it's a good thing for you, where you're at, get to know me a little bit more, let me get to know you. Also, if you know that it's for you, there's a button for you to just invest if you're like, yep, I got it, I'm on fire, let's go. So with that, I will open it up for questions. It's just about the top of the hour. I think you can press *6 if you have a question. If I don't get any questions, I will try to reset this to an open line because last week's call, as I said, I had a question and the functionality wasn't working.
I have a question.
Hi, yes. Who do I have?
Hi, this is Margaret Ann.
Hi, Margaret Ann. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. As a longtime yogi and meditation teacher, I love the presentation. Awesome. And it's really
wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you. Really great yoga stuff.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. What's your question?
My question is about the Kapha dosha.
Yeah, okay.
The business model, if you would have any other quick pointers about kind of summing that up, how to live, you know, have your own business and be, I'm also Pitta, but I'm mostly Kapha.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about how your Kapha shows up as opposed to how your Pitta shows up.
My physical manifestation is more Kapha. You know, I'm short,
okay.
I'm muscular. When people are around me, they're like, oh, I'm totally relaxed because Margaret Ann is here. I have like a very chill.
Right.
Kind
okay.
Of...
So yes, you bring up a great point. So Kapha people are such a joy to be around. They put everyone at ease. Like it's very attractive, right? We kind of gravitate toward Kapha people. But I don't want to cut you off. Was there anything else you wanted to share with me before I?
That's a lot of the Kapha. I mean, I also like to sleep. But the Pitta, I used to be more, you know, a little more Pitta when I was younger and I wasn't so, you know, refined in my meditation practice. So I was a little more, could get a little, you know, hyper sometimes, talk too much. So, most of my life I've been mostly Kapha. So I do have some Pitta because I have a, like, need to, like, think and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what can be helpful to a Kapha type is to, you again, we're going to utilize your positive aspects, okay, and we're going to try and minimize the things that throw you out of balance. So things that would throw you out of balance would be allowing yourself to have any kind of, like, stagnation or attachment for too long a period of time. So my biggest suggestion for Kapha people who own their own business is to build into your model for yourself a level of stimulation, okay, so that it forces you to change, so it forces activity, it forces movement, or encourages it. Force isn't the right word, but encourages it. Just like, I'm going to use an analogy here. Just like with me as a Vata person, I have to build into my model managing my money. Like, it's a kind of a sorry thing to admit. Like, I'm a little embarrassed to share that with all of you, to be honest. Right? I feel like, well, I should just be able to do this. I know how to do it. But that's just not the way I am. I am much more at ease, much more comfortable, and do an outstanding job of somehow managing my energy and my money when I have a recurring revenue model that helps me do it, okay? So it's the same type of thing. We want to build a model for you that helps you get some stimulation so that you can use the positive qualities of the fact that you probably have a lot of structure in your business that's probably really easy for you to figure out and put in place, and that you're very attractive to people. People want to be around you. Okay, so the stimulation would be, how do I build in some ways of getting myself out there more to talk to people, offering new things on a regular basis? They don't have to be as frequently as you think. So, but I would build in the stimulation. So that's why I added periodic launches here to add the quality of your harmonic business model. Your instinct as a Kapha person is going to be to build the model that I recommended for Vata, which is, it's going to be a long-term revenue stream. I'm going to build a deep relationship with somebody, and I'm going to do the same thing, and I'm going to be really good at it, and it's going to be really stable, and I'm not going to have to worry about it. Because you want the stability, and you naturally gravitate toward the stability. But what's going to happen is that, you know, if you can become attached to that stability, you can become attached to the offering, which then leads you to being bored by your offering, which then leads to some depression, which then leads to maybe not tending to the things that need to be tended to in your business, which then leads to reduced income. It's just a possibility, but that's how the Kapha qualities play out. So periodic launches could be good for you. You could still have a deep relationship if that's what you want. You offering things where you work with people for a month to 3 months could be a good structure, okay, where you get a chance to get involved in a relationship, but then you have to bring in new business. Or you at least have to renew, kind of assess where you are with the current relationship and bring in new. And what I mean by consecutive streams is probably going to be better for you if you have kind of one offer or one thing that you're really into rolling out, and you do that for a period of time, and then you come up with another one. Whereas a Vata would do, I'm doing multiple income streams that are not related to each other at the same time. That probably doesn't interest you at all. You might do that consecutively instead of simultaneously. So it allows you to capitalize on your positive qualities of stability and structure and nurturance of people, but there's going to be a periodic time where you change things up that will allow you to stimulate change. So cuff with me too. Like with your body, you need to get enough movement. Same type of thing in your business. You need to, I recommend building in enough stimulation.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope that answers your question. Oh, it's also reminding me that one of the other things I noted about the business, about the offer recommendations, is that, you know, the orientation of them is different for each dosha. I talked about business orientation also in the archetype talk last week, because we are oriented differently to our work, okay? We are oriented differently to in our relationships with money. So I characterized the offers differently for each dosha. So a Vata dosha is more exploration-oriented as opposed to results-oriented, which is the common Pitta dosha that we see. Doesn't mean people don't get value out of it or even that they don't get results, but just in terms of focus. And for Kapha, it would be nurturance-oriented, so really capitalizing on the fact that people come to you because they feel at ease. People feel taken care of. They feel well. They feel grounded. So your what you offer and the way that you offer it really can capitalize on that. Any other questions? Thank you so much. That was a great question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, if any other questions do come up, please feel free to submit them at info@ompreneur.com. The recording will be going out, and I, again, am available and would be excited to speak with any of you about how to go more deeply into this. Thank you so much for being here. It was a lot of fun for me, and I wish you namaste. Thank you.
Namaste.